This is the best. Do you hear me? Of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Last time I saw our guest, he was at a bar.
That's a true statement.
Dad walked into a bar.
That was a true statement.
I walked in, and full disclosure, I said, put this on his tab.
That is another true statement.
I feel like I owe you like $250 or something.
It was probably more than that, Paul. We were at a bar. I don't know outside of a Dr. Pepper or a can of soda that you get for $250.
I don't know if I've got the money, but I'm going to make sure. This has been bugging me for 2 weeks. So I owe you money.
This guy pays his debts, everybody. I really love this guy.
Hold on.
Oh, you don't have change.
Got a dollar.
That's all square. All square.
No, hold on. I can.
Need to borrow some money.
Hold on.
This is why I love to come on the Paul Feinbaum Show, because we pay debts. Thank you, Paul. Okay. I like that.
I paid up. I cannot tell you how much better I feel about this.
You paid up in full. That just lets me know me and Paul can hang out.
Yeah. Because I mean, it was like I walked in and I was joking. Was your brother there?
Yeah, it was my brother. My brother Brian.
I said, put it on his bill, and I didn't realize how arrogant that sounded.
We know you very well, Paul.
Okay, that I've paid you the money, I think I probably gave you too much.
The tip was included.
Tip
was included.
What's going on?
Oh man, living my best life. Just came from Miami. One of my good friends, John Damon, turned 50, so got to hang out with him. Came back, me and the wife, we had a good time. Got to see a couple friends down there, John Vilma, one of my good friends.
John, I know
yeah,
John.
Yeah, good friends of mine.
Used to hang out with him every, what a cool guy.
He's an awesome guy.
I like him very much.
You know, I know not everybody wants to hear about this, but man, how about the University of Miami? You know, Mario Cristobal, they're trying to get all these things going.
Making
they just
noise.
Paid a lot of money for a young four-star player. They're trying to make a lot of noise, but we're also asking the same question. And when it comes to the ACC as a whole, is Miami, Florida State, and Virginia Tech, are they going to make the conference relevant again? That is another question that I would like to know. You're looking at Miami, kind of who they are, and they got to be able to win those games that matter. It's okay for Miami. They've been 8-0, 7-0, and then get blown out by North Carolina. We'll know exactly who this team is when they play at Texas A&M in week 3. And then, of course, the tough game against North Carolina, because we don't know if North Carolina's going to be able to run the ball like they do. And again, at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. It's just amazing to see if Miami can become of relevancy. They have the quarterback that everybody's excited about.
Answer me a question, because Florida fans are all over the place. And there are some people that are arguing that Mario Cristobal is having his way in recruiting at the expense of Billy Napier. You just spent time with Vilma, is one of the most prominent Miami people around.
Yes.
What are you hearing?
Well, number one, that I couldn't hear anything because we were at the Live nightclub, but that was number one, but it was good. We didn't talk a lot of
That's
football,
funny.
But they are excited. They're excited about what's going on in Miami. Number one, whenever time you bring somebody that's been through the program, somebody that you feel is part of family, and we all know that's what the U really represents, and it's not so much about all the facilities and how great it is and how nice it is, but no, it's about the players, the former players, the people that have walked those walls through those hallways is what makes that program what it is. The former greats, you know, Ed Reed, Warren Sapp,
sure.
John Vilma, DJ, all those guys.
But you're not answering my question about Florida.
Yeah, because Florida started off in such a hole when it came to recruiting. They were so far behind, Paul, when we talked about recruiting. And this is probably the lowest Florida's probably ever finished
in terms of total recruiting. You gotta make an impact. You don't have that long to make it. And we know all the people who have made it early on.
Florida has to improve the facilities as well.
Well, so, they are. That's happening.
Right. So when you're bringing these kids on your campus, if you're not going to offer them boatloads of cash, then what are you going to offer them? This experience of being in Florida, Gainesville,
right,
which hasn't been the same the last few years. And kids are no longer interested in that. They'd rather go to other places with just as good of weather that probably rains less and still have a good time with everything else that's going on.
Like shots fired.
I mean, the few times I've been in Gainesville, it rained every time. So that's just part
it's like,
of
it's
it.
It's like where I was in your former city last week. Walking down the street, sun's out. It's rained before. You know where I was.
In New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's so hot there.
Oh.
It's so hot.
August in New Orleans.
It's one of the worst, but at least, you know, you get the nice weather before hurricane season shows up. Yeah. That's what we always look forward to. At least it wasn't hurricane season.
You're just not going to answer the Florida question, are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm trying to answer it in the best way possible without trying to get too far ahead of my own skis, because they still have time. Billy Napier has time. I do believe in Billy Napier and his coaching ability, his ability to be able to build a program. I think that is what we should focus on more than just, oh, well, he's not recruiting and these people are getting this. Well, sometimes it's not about the numbers and it's not about certain recruits that you think is going to be all that, but it's about getting your right guys. And you look up in 3 or 4 years, those guys are more contributing to your program than the guys that you actually may have missed out on or had this crush on coming out of high school.
Okay, I'm gonna move on.
Thank you, Paul.
Because I know Roman. When Roman doesn't answer a question, which is highly unusual, he is answering the question.
There it is. I learned that at the University of Alabama, that you cannot allow them to take you where the question wants you, right? You get to answer the question the way that you want to have it. So I get to control the narrative by saying, we should focus on the positive that Billy Napier is and will continue to be, and that is a great head coach and a program builder.
So you may have seen this walking in, but we had who do we have here? Pete Futak. And this is how he sees the SEC, Florida at 9-3.
Oh, I don't see that.
That's why I asked you.
That's why you asked. Okay.
I wanted to make sure you were on the record before we gave you the reason.
I don't see that. I've seen Florida's. I just want to see who Florida's playmakers are going to be. That's what I must see. I know they're going to have a quarterback that can run, that can throw the ball a little bit, but he has to be able to have somebody catch it on the other end. Not only that, but they got to be better defensively. Last year, they were terrible defensively when it comes to executing X's and O's.
This is the Roman Harper.
Guys getting lined up, playing sufficient football, knowing exactly where to be at all times, setting an edge, doing all the little – I'm getting fired up talking about defense.
Go.
Setting an edge and doing what you're supposed to be doing. That is where Florida really struggled at times, and it was often. So if they can get these little things cleaned up, naturally you're going to have good athletes at Florida. I don't worry about that part of it. It's about playing good, solid football. And as a quarterback, not turning the football over. And also, you have to be able to beat teams with throwing the football, not outside the pocket and making great plays with your legs, which you all understand that Anthony Richardson's a great athlete, but you still must play quarterback if you want to win long-term.
Okay, let's go back to that list if you guys in the other room can dig it up.
You're about to get me going.
Well, of course I am. I
saw another one immediately. I was like,
Pete Futak. I want you to let's move Florida off to the side. Tell me which one, positive or negatively, you think stands out the most on this board. Which is so wrong that you need to talk about it.
So it's going to be two teams. All right. I think Arkansas could get to 10 wins this year. They will be Ole Miss of last year, where you look up, you win 10 regular season games, you might be able to get to 11. I think Arkansas is a team to watch out for. Also, Tennessee on the other end will be higher than that. I think Tennessee is the third best team in this conference. I know Kentucky has the easier schedule, but I actually like Tennessee and their players.
Arkansas can get to 10 wins, and let me make sure I understand what you said here.
9-10, depending on the bowl game and how kind of regular season.
Tennessee, I'll just repeat what you said. I know most of you guys are not used to having, you know, your words regurgitated.
I like that, though.
But Tennessee is the third best team in the East or the conference?
In the conference.
In the SEC.
I got Tennessee third best team in the conference right now. And that is because you got to bring back this offense, which, as I continue to watch film, Paul, over and over and over, it's really hard to defend. And if they are able to run the football successfully with their offensive line, that takes all the pressure and puts all the pressure on everybody else defensively, because you can only have 5 or 6 guys in the box at a time, which is an offense, that's when you love to run it. Those are numbers in your favor. So now, if you're able to do that and spread guys out the way that they do, play with the amount of tempo, it's hard. You see guys all the time, they're not even getting lined up. And now, next you know, they're throwing the ball over the ballpark. Tennessee would have had 2 more wins last year if they would have started Hendon Hooker since the start.
Yeah.
So and then not mess up the bowl game.
Yeah, so by my kick, because you were with me the day I declared that a win. We were together in Dallas.
You did include.
So Tennessee won the bowl game. Sorry, Boilermakers or Cornhuskers or whatever you call
you
yourself.
You did. You took that as a win. You did.
Whatever, Lafayette, Indiana, you guys, nobody could find you with a GPS. You lost that game. So you said that's what, 8 wins? You said they could have won 10 games.
And it's because of the way they operate. It's just so hard to defend. I look at it, it's very frustrating. You got to be bigger than them up front to stop them offensively, because you can't put enough people in the box to stop the run, because their pass game is so tricky, so quick, so fast. It only takes bad eyes for 2 seconds. The next, you know, somebody's downfield and Hendon Hooker hits him for a touchdown. He doesn't turn the football over. He's athletic enough to make plays with his legs, which he showed that he could do tremendously last year. He's older. It's another year in the system. He's a veteran guy that's been around and played a lot of football. This team is a team that's on the rise right now. And I've said it, Tennessee is going to play big time spoiler this year. They will beat Georgia or Alabama. And I think it's going to be the first team I name.
Georgia, right?
That's Wes.
Okay.
Regurgitating,
you know,
my words again.
I've been in the sun too long.
they very easily could beat. They're going to play spoiler, because where they play catch Georgia at is right after that Florida game. And then you watch Alabama. They play them third Saturday of October, which we all know is a big game, a big weekend. But the most important part of it is actually when they play Alabama is after they play Texas A&M, which everybody knows they'll be looking forward to that game because of the Jimbo, Nick Saban, all that other talk.
I thought they made up.
That's what they tell us. That's what they tell us, Paul. But I think Sankey told him, hey, let's calm it down. But so Alabama has Arkansas on the road. Then they have Texas A&M at home. Then after that, the following week, they got Tennessee at Knoxville, Neyland Stadium.
Oh, okay.
That's a tough 3-week schedule right there. That I think is going to be Alabama's going to. You better watch out at Neyland, when we all know they have not they haven't beaten Alabama since Saban's been there, however long that's been. And so, the last time they beat them was what, 07?
2006.
Yeah, 2006 that season. Yeah, because I left in 05. Yes. So it's
as soon as you left, it fell apart.
It fell apart. I mean, Alabama got better. Tennessee fell apart. It was just what it was. I don't know what happened. But I just think Tennessee, the schedule sets up right, and it's all about what makes the fight. Now, we also got to stay healthy, and we're just looking out there and forecasting. But I think Tennessee, in my opinion, third best team. That's where I got them ranked right now.
Okay, listen, you do not disappoint.
And I want to say the last thing. Defensively, it's not about how good they have to be. I don't need them to be dominators. I don't need them to be Georgia last year. I need them to be opportunistic. And what does that mean? I need you to force more turnovers. I need you to be great on red zone defense, holding teams to field goals and not allowing them to score touchdowns, because field goals will not beat this Tennessee offense. It won't happen. You can kick as many as you want, and they're going to keep scoring. And then also, you need to be able to force timely third down stops. Just the biggest job every time your defense rolls out there, their mindset should be get our offense back on the field. Whether we give up a touchdown or whatever it is, just get our offense back on the field. That's where their mindset needs to be.
If you doubted the football season was here, do not doubt. our first football season in-person visit with Roman Harper.
You just we started off a little slow. Yeah, paid some debts, and then we get this thing kicking.
It's what's called reeling in the guest.
He's so good at it. At least I didn't try and fight anybody today.
That's what we save that for on campus.
Yeah, you're right. On campus. That was our Friday show. You're right about
Monday,
that.
It's Monday. Roman, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Paul.
Great to see you.
Always.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Emma could go down this year in Knoxville. Larry is up next in Shelby, Alabama.
Woo. There's somebody else using my flare. Woo! Somebody in the background, probably Daniel, is probably using it. Hey, you know what, Feinbaum? Cristobal ain't going to be nothing. I'm telling you, Miami's a bummer. They're going to be a bummer. They ain't going to be no good, man. I don't want people. And like when I say something, it's like Saban. When I said, and you remember at the beginning of this season, I said, you're going to have the have and have nots. And I be damned, he don't say the same thing. Plagiarize me. It gets me mad. He should have said, and Larry said, the have and have nots. You know, I mean, don't it make you mad when people use your stuff, Paul?
Well, I've had people use my entire career, so I don't get all that upset.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because you the man, brother. That's like the day I went with the pacemaker and had to have it redone. Them girls said, you wore this thing out, boy. Superhuman.
What did you wear? Where did you wear out? I'm afraid to ask.
My fibrillator.
Oh, your fibrillator. Okay.
I thought they
had loaned you something else.
No, fibrillator, and I had my heart leak in the valve, and I had to clamp a valve, my artery. They done that, and then I had my fibrillator. Every time I bend over, it would really hurt. And they fixed it today, two girls down there at Hart's house. They fixed that fibrillator, but she said, you know, I don't know what you've been doing, but, man, you something else. I said, I have my love machine, baby. Me, but anyway, that guy at the first of the show, Feinbaum, is awesome. I like that guy.
What are you talking about?
The one at the first of the show about the VA and
the guy from Auburn. Yeah, the guy that played at Auburn. He was great. You're absolutely right, Larry. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out. Vernon. Vernon is in Kentucky. Hello, Vernon.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Hi there.
I've been listening to Roman and the other guy and about who's going to be second in the East and all this other stuff. It seems like every year they always say Kentucky is next to last in the East. They always say that South Carolina is going to beat Kentucky, that Tennessee's going to be back. Tennessee's back. And when is this going to – and then they all act surprised when Kentucky wins like 9 games at the end of the year. All act surprised. And we should have known. We should have known. We're not going to do that again. And then the next year comes, and they got us down in the bottom again. What is this? Is it wishful thinking or what?
Well, I think there are some people that – will not acknowledge what Stoops has built in Lexington. It's a phenomenal program, and it's not perfect. As you know, even in the best years, they manage to lose to Tennessee. But it's still a great program.
That was a face mask call, but that's literally there.
Okay, you're right. What about 4 years ago?
What about year before last?
Yeah, what about that? Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. He's built a great program.
And getting on another thing here, getting off my soapbox, I want to ask for prayers for people. It's been lost up in eastern Kentucky with the floods and everything. Just say a prayer for them.
Vernon, thank you for saying that. And yeah, you're right. It's absolutely heartbreaking to see what's going on in Kentucky right now. It was the tornado last fall and now this, and we'll continue talking about that and sharing information. We mentioned earlier that the basketball team is going to try to raise awareness and money tomorrow, and we'll talk more about that then. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jeff is in Tennessee. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Paul. First time caller. The guy that called in about predicting the SEC, was very thorough with him. You just asked him to back up what he thought, but he had a hard time doing it. Being disrespectful for it would be asking him to give you a point spread, wouldn't it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I should not have gotten so animated, but I just...
You didn't get animated. You just asked him to back up, you know, who they going to lose.
But I feel like he
Alabama
was...
Alabama and Georgia ain't nothing, but...
Yeah. Sports writers and all of us, including myself, have this tendency just to start vamping and bloviating, and I was just trying to slow him down because I wanted to pin him down. You just can't come in here and say Florida has great tradition, considering that since Urban Meyer won a national championship, they had a terrible season in 2010 under Meyer. Muschamp got fired. McElwain got fired. Mullen got fired. I mean, that's championship programs don't fire three straight coaches.
I'm sorry. Sounds like Tennessee.
That's true.
But the guy that called in, listen, last week, AC, that guy.
Yeah,
I can tell you the difference between you and him. When you give your opinion about something, or he does, it's a theory. Now, Paul, you went to University of Tennessee. When you give your opinion about something, I think it's called a hypothesis. I'm not sure.
That's pretty accurate.
There's a big difference. And you can understand you. Don't holler and scream. And why is he always bringing up money? I'll let you go with that, but that's ridiculous. But sports fans need to tone it down. Your team ain't always going to win. And if they could, it wouldn't be no need watching it. But God bless you. Yeah, we need to pray for all them people in Kentucky. They need it. Thoughts and prayers. And God bless you in what you do. And thank you for keeping it honest and straight.
Well, thank you. And we will continue to think about everyone in that state, who is not only, and here's the thing I think people often forget, the suffering is now, but it goes on. We're talking about lost lives, families affected, just absolute devastation. Thank you for bringing that up. We'll take a short break. Much more to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Zim is back as well, talking about Roman and Futek predicting Georgia to go down to Tennessee. Connor O'Gara told us that. Did I miss that? When did Connor tell us? Oh, during our Connor says a lot of things during media days. I'm just there for the country music gossip. So, I think Futek even said Alabama might go down, but yeah, so Ole Miss. So there has been a lot of news created on the program already today, and this is just the prelude to the college football season. Okay, let's try Gator again in the Bluff City. Hello, Gator.
Hey, man, how's it going?
We are doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I was wanting to kind of defend the Gators because I don't think anybody's getting them any chance, any love. And I just want to say I think they're the dark horse, and I think that they're going to beat Kentucky when they come to Swamp. I really do.
That's always a critical game, but this year, considering where Florida is, and the Gators have a chance to get just blow the lid off the season with a win over Utah and Florida, over Tennessee and then Kentucky before that, or they could just run into a brick wall. The main difference is Dan Mullen's not coaching anymore, so you've got a real CEO there, not an offensive coordinator.
That's true. You know, if Mullen had won the Bama game, he'd probably still have his job, right?
Without a doubt.
Well, listen, man, that's all.
And by the way, if Brian Harsin had won the Bama game, all the gossip that some people dreamed up from the internet on the plains wouldn't have happened either. It's amazing how this works, isn't it? Let's check in with Mickey in Florida. Hello, Mickey.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
Paul, I called. Really, I wanted to add my prognostications to this preseason talk. I want to talk about A&M. But before I do, I need to tell you how impressed I was with Will Levis's interview that you had. That young man communicates probably is better than almost any athlete I've listened to. I didn't hear one in the whole soundbite.
He was great.
I think if I were a corporate leader right now, I'd want to hire that guy for my team.
I think some are. You're 100% correct.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm quite sure they are. But I was just he just did an excellent job of communicating. You know, it sounds like he's on a fast path to success, whether he's in football or anywhere else. Very impressed with the kid. I wanted to also comment. Everybody's making their prognostications. It's the sort of the silly season before football starts. Everybody's awfully high on A&M, but in spite of all the great recruits they had, a couple of comments. Number one, they're still freshmen. And number two, if they're being paid as much as they say, they're probably going to be uncoachable. I think A&M is probably just going to have another Aggie-type year, go 7-5 or 8-4. I mean, they're still Aggies. And all those players that they recruited, they're not all going to play like Brock Bauer did this year. They're still freshmen. And so, I don't know. I don't quite get why everybody's getting so high on the Aggies. And I know that will just be anathema to Matt in San Antonio. But that's the way I feel.
You make a great point. I think they're the most intriguing team. Florida might be the most interesting in terms of the range, but if Jimbo Fisher does what you are suggesting, I mean there's got to start being some buyer's remorse out there, because I'm just saying this in as a prelude. I think they'll do a little bit better than you do, but. The one thing I will add, though, the confidence level of Jimbo Fisher surprised me. When we sat together 2 weeks ago, this guy wasn't backing down from anything. And that's part of his personality. But sometimes coaches try to caution the public. But maybe Jimbo figures at $10 million a year, nobody's going to buy it anyway. Slam on Texas A&M there, another Aggie-like year at 7-5 or 8-4. What about it, Matt?
That guy's full of crap, Paul. Everybody says that every year about Texas A&M because they hate us and want us to fail. You know what? I got something to say to him, man. We're not going to go, no, 8-4, 7-5. You're full of crap. I don't know what you've been hearing. We're going to go 11-1 this year, Paul. I'm not backing down from that year like Jimbo from that prediction. It's only one loss that we might have that year. That's the Bama, but they're not going to blow us out either. We're still going to keep that game close. And we might even win that game. So you know what? I don't care what that guy has to say. He can go F himself, but I'm not afraid of any team in the SEC.
Hey, Matt, you told me that the prognosticators are always wrong. Outside of the COVID year, when have they been wrong?
Last year we were 8-4 fall because we didn't have a quarterback that was good. I mean, Zach is out. We had no offensive line. That's changed this year in football for Texas A&M. They have an offensive line coming back. And I got two questions I want to ask you, brother. Have you ever run into a Texas Tech fan?
Yeah, I know a Tech fan.
I ran into a Texas Tech fan today. They're the most dumbest, delusional fan base ever. This is what they said. You got to find this delusional too, Paul. They said college recruiting is overhyped. You don't need 5 stars or 4 stars to win a game. You're winning with 3 stars. I'm like, really?
Hey, Matt, if you run into your Texas Tech fan again, give him the statistic of in the last 11 years, I think every team that has won the national championship has finished number one in recruiting at least one time. It's hard to argue with those facts. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Justin is up next. Hello, Justin.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Hey, I heard you say on First Take a couple of weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, that you thought a UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten was more important than Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. And I strongly disagree with that. As far as on the field go, out of the four, Oklahoma's the best team in the past 6-7 years. As far as financially goes, no one in L.A. watches football. People are obsessed with football in Oklahoma. People are, you know, obsessed with the team in Texas. I really think Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC is way more valuable and way more important than USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. I would like your opinion on that.
Well, let me offer one part of that. Oklahoma City, the metro area in Oklahoma City, has about 680,000 people. The metro area of Los Angeles is about 15 or 20 million. That's what I was talking about. This is not about how well you did last year. This is about what you mean from a television standpoint, a perception standpoint. It's a very debatable issue. I would agree with you. But I would also like to tell you, as an Oklahoma fan, Texas was really the prize that the SEC got. I know that may sound offensive to you, but Texas is a golden name in the industry, and they're also a part of one of the largest states in the country. Oklahoma obviously is not, even though Texas hasn't done very much. So I really believe that what SC did by going to the Big Ten is they gave the number two market in the country to the Big Ten. Now they can claim the number one market, the number three market. Those things do matter when you're trying to get a media rights deal. I don't know how to say this without it sounding insulting, but I'll say it because you brought it up. But the state of Oklahoma is not causing any television executive in New York to blink their eyes one iota.
Yeah, well, but do you know that no one in L.A. really watches
That's not true.
they really don't.
Well, I would argue with you, Justin, that when SC is playing at a high level, which I think they're about to do, there are
about to. No, let me offer this to you.
Have you ever do you trade stocks by any chance?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, I don't either. And anyone who does for themselves needs to see a psychiatrist. However, my point being, stock prices are not about what happened in the past. Stock prices are a valuation of what is happening today moving forward, especially the projections. The market is way ahead of where most of us are thinking. By the time I get the news where I am and you get the news where you are, it's too late. The guys on Wall Street have already made their money or lost it. So you can't judge it on what you know today. And when Southern Cal is winning, that is a hot market for the Trojans. Nobody really cares about UCLA. That's I agree with you on. But SC by itself is a very valuable commodity. Let's take a break. More to come in the final few minutes of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.